Parkcast, the UK's original theme park podcast.
Welcome back to Parkcast, Park Fans, your weekly dose of theme park chats. I'm Vex, and we're here every week talking about things going on in the theme park world, some little reviews of theme park trips that we've done as well, and sometimes, occasionally, we have an interesting guest, which I have today, and you won't mind me calling him interesting. He's also a very good friend of mine. He's been on the podcast before. Three times?
I know. I should get the billing. I should get billing up. Podcast featuring.
I know. You're based. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to leave it a while.
That's a future production meeting, isn't it?
don't go expecting a fee. It's not going to happen. if you don't recognise the voice already, it is Glenn Robertson, a.k.a. The Notable Stranger, who you will know from his infamous soundtracks at Blackpool Pleasure Beach.
Infamous.
I mean, we all know them.
Hated to be loved in equal quantity.
Mostly loved.
Yeah.
Apart from the one.
You haven't read my DMs.
No. Don't go there. Look, I love them. Yes. And not only the ride soundtracks, but obviously Hot Ice as well. Currently, just put Evictus to bed, which obviously we haven't heard yet. We've heard a couple of little teasers, but we will be hearing that very soon when it opens on the 21st of May. So that's exciting.
That's exciting.
But I wanted to get you on today because I wanted to talk about a park which I talk about a lot on this podcast, my favourite theme park in the world, Europa Park. And you've just been on a visit to Europa Park basically because I bullied you into it.
Yes.
And
possibly the busiest time of the year for a theme park.
Well, I mean, that's not entirely my fault. There's a backstory. Okay. So Europa Park is my favourite park. You live in Germany. And not just in Germany, you live like sub 3 hours from Europa Park.
Oh, sub!
Sub three hours.
No, the Easter isn't.
On a good run as the crow flies.
At night.
Sub 3 hours from Europa Park. And you haven't, you don't go there, you don't visit it.
I went for the press launch of Icon.
And we which was at Europa Park, obviously.
Yes, and Mac Rides. And we got put on the blue steel flyer. What is it? Blue Max?
Blue fire.
Blue fire, that's it. Blue fire is like to experience what it's like, because that's its granddaddy or whatever you want to call it.
Well, yeah, closely related.
I went back to Europa Park for a meeting afterwards, and we've been as a family once before, but that was, probably 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So
basically, you living sub 3 hours from Europa Park, I went more than you last year than you have been in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
That's fine.
This is what we were trying to put to bed. So basically, I've been trying to make a point that Europa Park is a fantastic theme park, basically on your doorstep. And you should really go back with fresh eyes and go and experience. Because when you're going on like press events and things like that, you're not really just, you know, going and doing what you want to do, are you? You kind of get herded around a little bit and you have to meet people and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So you had a free Easter bank holiday weekend with zero plans.
Yeah.
So I said, why don't you go to Europa Park? Let's also just quickly describe your relationship generally with theme parks. Because you're not an enthusiast.
No. I have an interest. I'm forced to have an interest thanks to knowing you. and obviously my job, part of my job is theme park related. So I take an interest. But I can take it or leave it. I like a roller coaster as much as everybody else. But creds and counts is not me.
It's not you. I mean, you've got some of the lingo. Well, you do listen to some.
Yeah, rollback and things like that.
Yeah, there you go. okay, so I mean, safe to say, probably spending an entire Easter bank holiday weekend at a theme park hasn't been high on your priority list.
Yeah, no, 4 days. I never knew you could do 4 days at a theme park.
But here we are.
But here we are.
And yet you did. And I mean, when you went to book it, it was fairly last minute. I think it was about a month or so out when you booked it.
We were FaceTiming you, and you
you had had a couple of wines.
Yeah, this is the problem. and we What else did we book? Something else while we were talking to
Your
you?
summer holiday.
Oh yeah, that was it. Yeah. It helped me spend a considerable amount of money. Yeah, that was it.
That's not a theme park holiday.
No, it isn't. But it's where you want to go, so we're paying for the accommodation. Oh look, here's Rebecca just coming to visit.
But the problem was, because you booked it fairly last minute and it was Easter Bank Holiday weekend,
and
you are quite particular in where you like to stay.
Last time we stayed, we stayed in the Bell Rock in the lighthouse, and that was lovely. So with our natural assumptions, we said, oh, we shall do that again. And it was fuller than full, and so were all the other ones. So we ended up in the...
Hotel Kronosar.
That's it, well done.
Not just in your bog standard room. Firstly, even if the bog standard room was available, let's be honest, you weren't booking that. If you you have to understand something about Glenn is that he likes the finer things in life, and we don't fly economy class.
We don't,
and we don't stay in standard rooms.
We don't.
No, when I say we, that's not the. That's the royal we, by the way. I very much fly economy class and stay in standard rooms. But I don't have his bank balance. you were basically left with one on-park hotel room option for the entire... So you know how big Europa Park is and how many hotels and how many rooms they have. There was one room remaining, which was at Hotel Kronosar. It was... A premium penthouse suite with private sauna.
Yeah.
In the
and
room.
Rotating bed.
It did have a rotating bed, which I was sent a nice video of. Yeah. In a weird OnlyFans way.
But you saved that one, didn't you?
probably the hotel room that not most of us listening to will ever stay in. But... as we said, it was literally the last room available in Europa Park. So you didn't have a lot of choice. And we did have a bit of back and forth when it was the only one, because as I pointed out, that hotel is down by Rulantica, which is a walk from Europa Park. It's the furthest hotel from Europa Park. And you were also taking my dog with you, who you are kindly looking after for the time being. Yeah. So we solved those two problems. One, dogs are allowed. Which I think is great for a theme park hotel. Yeah. She's got little treats and all sorts.
Oh, she got little... As we went into the room, they're giving her a little packet of treats and a little dog ball. She got pampered everywhere she went by everybody.
Bowls of water.
Yes. Food.
Ham at breakfast.
Yes. But a bowl of water at breakfast as well. They would always bring a bowl of water for her.
Yeah.
When you went around the shops and things, if they spotted a dog, somebody would always give them a little dog treat or something.
So that's nice. Very
she kind
super
of associated anybody with the Europa Park uniform on as food. food <giver. laughs>
She does make those connections very quickly. So that was great. You could take the dog. And although it is the furthest hotel, there is a shuttle bus which runs, which, again, going by our slightly earlier conversation, was never going to be really a viable option for you.
We did it twice, I think.
Did you?
Yeah. It's a 10-minute walk. God.
Yeah.
It's literally a 10-minute walk. So and the weather was absolutely lovely. So it was quite nice.
Yeah. So and it actually works out well.
In the morning, the queue for the bus was horrendous. So So it was, But if we'd been walking around all day and when we were coming back, we couldn't be bothered to walk that extra 10 minutes. We got the bus back and it was fine. Tip for anybody who actually is staying in the hotel, top consumer tip, don't queue up outside the hotel. Walk the 30 seconds round to the front of Rulantica where the bus stops, because nobody in the morning is getting on the bus from the Rulantica to the park. But so it kind of just like drives around the corner and then comes and picks up at the hotel. So there's 200 people waiting outside the hotel. What, 20 seconds around the corner, nobody there.
There you go. That is a top tip. That's top actually tip. Genuinely useful.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you. Oh, that's a surprise.
Well, that's very observant. Okay, well, that's good. And you don't have to walk all the way to the main entrance, do you, if you're staying at Kronosar?
No, the hotel entrance is down the side of...
By Spain.
Yes, it is. That by Spain, yes.
Yeah. So it's not like you're in rush, like, oh wow, we've got a long walk. It's it isn't too bad. So if you do
No.
find yourself staying at Hotel Kronstadt, that's how bad the walk is, i.e. not bad at all.
No.
So that's good. So you had, as part of your package, obviously your nights in the hotel and a day at Europa Park for each night as well. So you had basically free access to the park from the moment that you arrived. It was an Easter Bank holiday weekend. I think it's probably one of the busiest weekends at Europa Park. Easter Bank holiday in Europe is a big thing, and a lot of
And the
people
weather
obviously
was
get.
nice.
Yeah, the park had only been open for a week, so it was going to be busy. And you do not like queues at all.
I was assured by my good friend that, oh, it's fine. Like the
Virtual
what?
queue.
Oh
Go
yeah,
on.
just virtual queue, everything is fine. Hence, as I said before, I spent my entire 4 days on my phone trying to access it. And I managed to get one.
Okay,
One.
so let's talk about this. So, if you've never been to Europa Park, in my mind, and in the mind of a lot of theme park enthusiasts, it's one of the best theme parks in the world because it is the most efficient place for operations you will ever see in your life. So even on an Easter Bank holiday weekend, those queues will get moving. And I think if you compared the general queue times of Europa Park to, say, Alton Towers on Easter Bank holiday weekend, huge discrepancy. Like, Europa Park's queues were, in my mind, to me, minimal.
the average time, if you averaged it out, was probably about 35 minutes
Yeah,
per
which,
ride.
oh, on an Easter Bank holiday weekend for a major theme park with big attractions, I think that's amazing. Even without that, there is this VQ option. So the virtual queue is free. There are no fast tracks at Europa Park, which you're a little bit upset about because you don't mind getting a fast track.
Oh, there is a secret one, but
Oh,
carry
we'll
on.
come on to that. There is a virtual queue option, which I got you obviously set up on, and it's through your app, and you do have to be on your phone to use it, and your tickets are linked to your app. And they get released slots for all the major rides at the start of the day, and you can book your VQ slots. And then once they are all gone, they'll all close, and then they will reopen again at various points through the day, but you don't get a notification or anything to say
No,
the virtual queues have reopened.
which
So
is
that's what you
terrible.
mean by saying you are having to check your phone if you want a virtual queue. And I agree, that is a problem when you go at a busy time of year, because you're probably more focused on trying to get a virtual queue than, say, I would be when I went in December and it wasn't busy at all. We didn't even need a virtual queue. I do think it would be great if you got a notification to say virtual queue for Blue Fire is now,
You
so
could
you can
have
book
the
it yourself.
rides that you wanted, like earmarked, and it'll ping when they come. I mean, it's not difficult. If Leif Rando, what's it called here? If what's the food app thing that
Oh, like
tells
Uber
you?
Eats. Or
If they can manage it, just it pings when things are happening. Then it can't be that difficult. And Europa Park like to pride themselves on being, technologically advanced compared to other parks. It can't be difficult, and it was just so frustrating every time looking at the damn thing. And no, and then one would pop up, and it's like, oh, there's one available at 10 past 5 when it's 20 past 11. You're looking at it, and you think, well, I'm not staying till 10 past 5 just to ride a bloody ride.
Well, you wouldn't, I would. But then this is the difference, isn't it, between like enthusiasts and non-enthusiasts. And I think it's interesting to get our different views on that. I also would look at a 25, 30-minute queue for Wodan and go, great, I don't need to virtual queue for that. Whereas you'd look at 25-minute queue for Wodan and be like, oh, that's so long.
Oh, and it's going up and down, up and up, upstairs, downstairs. You go around the corner and you think, oh, we're nearly there. And then there's this giant cavern with there's like this zigzaggy thing. And then you go into another bit, and just make a queue that goes from one end to the other. And
You just want a football pitch length
it's verging on bloody fraud because it's just so annoying. It gets on my just my microphone in anger. It gets on my. I don't care about the dark. And why are they always pitch black? It's struggling. I have
Immersive.
to take my glasses off because I'm a spectacle wearer of quite famous for it. And when you go on Voltron, there is a good distance that you have to scramble around in the dark with no glasses on, because you have to put your everything out. You have to empty everything you have into these little locker things, which then you have to remember the number of in the pitch black, and you've taken your glasses off. Genius. All you see is these millions of boxes, and you think, right, what was my number? Luckily, I was with my son, who's got a better memory than me, but it's pitch black. I can't see anything, and I've got to find my box. Oh, God.
Right, I'm gonna break something to you, which maybe I should have told you before.
Contact lenses.
There are, well, that might be worth going to Spectator. That you, if you forget your number, you can just scan your card on a little reader, and it will remind you what it is, what your number is.
But nobody tells you that. And I probably won't be able to find the reader because it's pitch black in there.
But let's talk about Voltron overall, not just your annoyance at having to use the lock system, which is for your own safety, I will just point out. you had never been on Voltron before. And Voltron wasn't even built the last time you were at Europa Park, so you hadn't seen it. I hadn't given away any spoilers. You hadn't watched
any... No, she hadn't warned me. She wanted me to access it as a complete innocent.
I do, because do you know what? I think as enthusiasts, this is something that we miss, actually, because we deep dive into every little bit of an amusement that's being built. We kind of spoil it for ourselves because we know exactly what to expect. We know what it's going to look like, what the track's going to do, you know, what speed it's going to be at, who's done the music, all of this. We
ruin
know
it for yourselves before you get there.
Yeah, I think so.
No, I get that.
I didn't want you to have that experience. I wanted you to go in with fresh eyes, which you did. So, yeah, as you said, you took your son on it, and he's 13 now?
14.
14, and it was his first time as well.
Yes.
What did you think?
Well, it is amazing. It completely took me by surprise. I mean, I knew that it launched straight out the station. Yeah. I didn't know it did that juggery up and down thing.
The bouncy bouncy
at the start, and then the first time I went on it, I don't think I breathed all the way around until it got to the bit where it turns around again and comes back. From the very first launch up straight up, it just takes your breath away. It's absolutely amazing. I didn't particularly like the bit where it hangs you upside down for an elongated time. I didn't like that. And every time I went on it, I hated that bit, which you probably think is the best bit of the entire ride.
Oh, we love a bit of hang time, definitely.
But it's hang time and not, it's hang time, but that's hanging off the bloody restraints for an extended time. That, no, don't like that. Didn't like that at all. It is a hell of a ride. It really
is. It's crazy,
is.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's the technology of it, the smoothness of it.
See, it's interesting you say that. So many enthusiasts are like, it's really rattly. And
oh, God, no. I definitely didn't find that.
Yeah.
Single rider queues. Not single rider. Yeah, it was single rider queue. That just didn't move.
Interesting, because I often use the single rider queue, it's fine.
Well, once we found out what it was, because we thought at the start it was the front row queue thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And then me and my son were on the front row, so we went, oh, hang on, that can't be right. But then we worked out it was the single rider queue. God, because the park was so busy and it was families and everything else, the amount of single places was really limited.
Yeah.
And you could see, well, they queue on a separate queue that goes on their spiral staircase. The people just sat there, and while we were doing that horrendous zigzag thing, they just weren't moving.
Yeah.
Absolutely weren't moving. And you think, why would you do that?
Draw.
Just get on the ride.
Well, sometimes a single rider can really pay off, especially when you have a four row coaster, because you will get threes and twos, and then there might not be another two. So then
that's true. Yeah, if my wife had come on with us, then that would have been a three. Yeah.
But it is luck of the draw, and it is the gamble that you take when you join a single rider queue. But yeah, I mean, Voltron, it's relentless from start to finish. It's a very intense roller coaster. And for someone who obviously doesn't go on roller coasters a lot, I do think it would. Well, I mean, you came off saying you'd lost your voice.
I genuinely lost. I don't scream. If I'm on a particularly exciting ride, I laugh. It's the weirdest thing. I laugh like uncontrollably, and my son learned some new words, which which I've told him never to repeat to his mother. And he said that all he did was laugh and swear all the way around. And a couple of hours afterwards, my voice had just completely gone, and it took about a day and a bit to come back. It was. Just probably because of lack of oxygen as well. While I was, I was screaming and everything else, I couldn't breathe. So it was probably damaging my vocal cords irreparably.
But it was worth it.
No, it was worth it. I went back on it. So yeah. I remember sending you a text calling you a masochist. How could you like that?
That was after your first ride, wasn't it? And
yes,
then you kind of, you bedded into it after that.
Yeah.
We should point out as well that you weren't just abandoning your wife at the side of the rides and not letting her have fun. She doesn't like roller coasters at all. So
she went on Arthur. She went on Arthur with my son. Yeah.
That's the limit, isn't it?
And my son said that she grabbed hold of his thumb, and he's just about getting feeling back into it now. It's it's healing really well.
So yeah, she was quite happy to be sat with the dog.
Yes,
going and having a mooch around and
hell
will freeze over before and she gets on Voltron.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. she thinks it's the most beautiful park, and she was walking around, and all the flowers are out, and she will quite happily walk around there anytime. It's not boring to her at all. She thinks it's a beautiful place.
But that's good to know as well, because you will often get families where there is someone who doesn't want to ride rides, and if you go to somewhere like Thorpe Park, that is a boring day out for them. There's nothing to see, there's nowhere to go. It's a kind of a concrete jungle. But yeah, it is. If you do have a family member who doesn't like theme parks, don't cross off Europa Park for that. Because,
oh no, absolutely not. No,
lots of lakes and little rivery bits and things like that. Yes. So many places to sit and obviously it's al fresco cafes and things like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, plenty for a non-rider to do. So that is definitely worth noting. Now, there is a new area at Europa Park for 2026, or a rethemed area around Silver Star, which has been rethemed to Monaco. Now, I am a big fan of Silver Star, and I was really hoping you would share my enthusiasm for it. However, you just don't like it.
Boring. Boringest ride I've
ever had. No.
Oh,
you
is.
Can't say it's the most boring.
At the park, that was the. I had more fun on the monorail.
That's outrageous.
First of all, there's the lift. I don't like lift hills.
You don't like lift hills.
I really don't like lift hills. And the second time I went on it, because I thought, maybe it's me. I think we might have been on that three times. But definitely the second time I was sat on it going up the lift hill, I remember thinking, why? I don't like this. Why am I doing it again? But for the love of my son, I went on it again. Because he loved it. He absolutely loved it.
Well, at least someone in the family has taste.
It goes up, and then it comes down, and then it goes back up again, and it goes down, and it turns a corner, and it goes up, and it comes back down again.
What you fail to mention in
swing.
Your
if you go on a swing, love, you can go on that for hours, and it's the same thing.
It's not the same. It is not the same. You don't mention the 3 inches that your butt cheeks leave from the seat over every crest of the ride.
It's on a like being on a swing.
It's a beautiful.
He's smaller than me
sensation.
As well, so he probably did travelling.
I bet he was halfway to the moon, but
I make sure when they come round, I want that extra click.
This is the difference between enthusiasts and not. Whereas we're all slightly raising our legs.
So you set it so when they come past.
So if you kind of go on your tiptoes a little bit, so your thighs raise, they push it down. You get an extra inch.
Oh, well.
which is always required. It's not doing anything groundbreaking, but it's just, for me, a really enjoyable, smooth coaster, loads of airtime. It is what a roller coaster should be.
Doesn't do a thing.
Doesn't do anything for you. Okay, so that wasn't a major success. You also can't VQ on Silver Star, so
no.
you had to go and join
but
the queue.
But it really, that of all the rides, that the queue time really went up and down on that.
It does, yeah. It's a lot of people will go there first because it's close to the main entrance, or a lot of people then go to Voltron first and then go back. People do seem to move in sort of groups,
yeah,
with Silver Star. And yeah, you can time it and you might be on 10, 15 minutes.
That's exactly what we did. We the first time we went on it was the magic 35 minutes. And then we looked on the app and it said it was 10 or 15 minutes or something like that. And
yeah,
we're like, this can't be right. So we were near it anyway, so we went on it. And yeah, where it sends you on the extra little bits in the queue, all that had been shut off. And it really was, you went in, you went round that big auditorium bit where the big screen is, and then you were at the ride.
Yeah,
so yeah, it was really quick. So my objection to going on it again was like, I'm not queuing for another 35 minutes. So that objection was removed, so I had to go on it again.
Overruled.
Yeah.
And of course, it has got this new Monaco-themed area around it, which I haven't seen yet. So you were my guinea pig on that. Now, unsurprisingly, by you know, things we've already discussed, you holiday in Monaco quite a lot.
I've been seen there a few times, but it's not. I'm not sat next to Johnny, you know, like having a martini. There's nothing like that.
Okay, but you have visited Monaco and in the flesh,
yes.
And you weren't particularly impressed with the Europa Park reincarnation of
Monaco. It was just a few. Most of it is inside, and it's just tableaus of the fronts of buildings. When you compare it to other areas of Europa Park, it is very much we did this in half an hour kind of in comparison, kind of thing. There's no real depth to it.
No, there's no like new like bespoke buildings or anything like that. This is just in that inside area, which has seen various guises, and a lot of it was used for the museum last year for the 50th anniversary.
Yeah.
And I mean, they have done it. When you say in half an hour, the park was open until January and it reopened in March. So they did only have a couple of months to get this done. Don't go expecting a whole new big themed land.
You're not, sort of. Joan Collins is not sat there as a as an actress, you know, just sat in the bar drinking martinis to give it that authentic look. No.
Now, you did something at Europa Park which I've never done. You've beaten me to this one, and you rode the Phantom of the Opera VR overlay. I should point out, Phantom of the Opera is like your thing. You love it.
Yeah, let's have a nerd off about that. And we'll be fine. I'll win. So I was studying it for every wrong bit, shall we
any
say.
Any inconsistency in the storyline.
anything I could aha!
How many times have you seen actual Phantom of the Opera?
I do actually know the precise number.
Is this like a cred count?
It is. I shall never call you again. throw all this back in my face. The London production I've seen 64 times. Because when I used to work in London and I was bored of an evening, and I would just thought, oh, you know, go and see Phantom.
Just casually just drop into the West End production.
Yeah, you know, yeah. You could always get tickets.
64 times. That is a lot. That's a lot.
I've seen it.
Through
Las Vegas.
Yeah. Paris.
Where they don't have an interview. And everything is at double speed because they're not going to. They don't want you to sit there for 2.5 hours or whatever it is, because then you're not spending.
Yeah.
So everything is at speed. And you know when you watch X Factor, and they'll do like the first verse, chorus, and then that's it. Kind of edit the song down to 1.5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's what they do for the
for the Las Vegas. So is that what they do for the ride?
No, it's themes.
Okay.
So there's little musical motifs. Yeah, it follow? It kind of follows, but doesn't.
So it's
The
not like a very quick Phantom of the Opera.
no, it kind of assumes that you thinking about it. It assumes that you probably know quite a bit about it.
Right.
That he lives in the depths, and he has an obsession with Christine, and Raoul's the young suitor who he doesn't particularly like because he's taking Christine off her and everything else. So there are things that you, if you haven't seen it and you're going in completely blind, it's like, what's he doing? Why is he doing that? Why is he doing that? So when you put your VR on, which is, I mean, I know I'm wearing glasses, but my son, who's got 20/20 vision, said it was blurry. And
You
rather
can
than,
adjust it with the little
yeah, I've
twiddly
tried
knobs.
that,
Oh.
and he said it didn't look 3D. It was two images that didn't match.
Right.
So yeah, it's like all VR, it never works. And yet, weirdly, he's got a VR thing for his PlayStation, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
So I don't get how you can't keep updating it. But so then you get on a little train thing, and it moves out, and you're still wearing the headset, and that's when you start regretting what you've had for breakfast. And how long is this ride going to last?
Well, it did, yeah.
Oh,
You did feel very ill afterwards, which,
my, yeah. Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I
I was
think.
20 seconds away. If that ride was 20 seconds longer, really,
Really? See, I've
yeah.
ridden VR on what was Air Galactica Roland Towers when that was a thing, and that was absolutely fine for me. I preferred it without, but it didn't make me sort of feel sick or anything like that. So, yeah, it's
My son
interesting that
was
you both
equally
did.
agreed,
Yeah.
and he lives in VR
Yeah.
stuff usually, so he's got a stomach for it.
Well, I
Oh.
will try it next time I go and see if I have the same experience. But was it €7 to
Yes.
do that? Worth
Yes.
it?
Yeah. I mean, for
For a,
me, yeah.
yeah, well, yeah, the big
And it's
Phantom
quiet.
fan.
It's a quiet ride. There's
Well,
never
this is the interesting thing, right? So you didn't realise that that ride was the Can-Can coaster, the
No.
same
So I
ride.
queued up 45 minutes for the Can-Can coaster.
So technically, pay your €7 and you can fast track Can-Can coaster by going on the VR version and just don't wear your VR
Yes.
goggles. You won't
And
get the Can-Can
sing the
music.
dun dun
Yeah,
dun dun dun.
just do it
Sing that to
yourself.
yourself and
Yeah.
you're done. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
I didn't know. You could feel the sensation of the circular climb. Really good. When the VR thing, when it's doing the circular climb,
Yeah.
you're climbing inside the theatre, around the the famous chandelier, and getting higher and higher. And as it gets to the top, the Phantom is stood on the chandelier, and then it does its famous fall. So you're thinking, oh,
And
this is cool.
that's the
But then
drop.
you go down with the
Yeah.
chandelier and start spinning. Oh, that's when it starts getting mad.
Do you prefer it with the VR or without?
Doubt, definitely.
Yeah.
Because
'Cause you're a
it's
big
quite
fan. You've
nice.
lived in Paris as well, haven't you? So obviously the Can-Can coaster is like you go up the Eiffel Tower. That was
Yeah.
nice, was it? Did you enjoy it? You
Oh,
felt
yeah.
like you were back
I know. It was like, oh, this is nice. Yeah.
Can VQ Can-Can coaster if you are lucky. You will get some of those. Single rider I have done and got on it very quickly as well. It is one that I avoid first thing in the morning because again it's basically the first roller coaster you get to in the park, so a lot of people will dive straight into it. Let's talk about the Icon Connection and Blue Fire. So obviously this was
Blue
a ride that
fire,
you
fire,
got told
fire,
to
not blue
not
steel.
Blue Steel. That's very different. It's a ride that you got told to basically go and ride it to help you write the score for Icon so that you knew what a Mac launch coaster kind of felt
Yes,
like.
yeah.
And you always enjoy it. I think it's a great ride. I prefer
Oh, yeah.
Icon, I'll be honest, but yeah, what really interested me for you was you bought the on-ride video from it, which I've never done. I mean, I very rarely buy on-ride photos or anything like that. And you
Well, can
send
I
it to
just say
me.
the quality of the on-ride photos on
Yeah.
your park is rubbish.
About to
Compared to the
say.
Pleasure Beach, which is my and other trips drill, and I've been to other ones in Germany.
Yeah.
The oh
Well, that's
no.
interesting because I think your video quality that you sent me was
Oh, that was
excellent.
amazing. That was
Really
absolutely
good.
amazing. Yeah. And we didn't know you. The first time we went on it, we didn't know you could do that. And when we were walking out, and you could see the videos. So the next time we went on it, we obviously when you look, you can see the camera and everything else. So we were, you know, making
on best behaviour.
Yeah, no swearing.
But it's a really nice little touch, really. I think better than an on-ride photo because you do get your full experience. And I was expecting it to be, like you said, a little bit grainy, a bit shaky and stuff like that. And it's not. It is really, really good quality. So definitely something to bear in mind if you haven't got one of those when you've ridden it.
€10.
That's not bad. Digital download.
Yeah, it was quite after that. Yeah,
and I got to see your face during the roll at the very end, so that was fun.
I thought, should I send this to Rebecca? And I'm the only one allowed to call Rebecca, by the way, even though she hates it, but she tolerates me for calling her. And I thought, should I send it? And my finger hovered for so long over a certain board. So I thought she's going to pick something out, and I thought, I've been insulted by worse people, so I said, and then
within 10 seconds. Next to Blue Fire is Woden, and you hadn't ever ridden Woden on all your visits to Europa Park, which I'm sure breaks some kind of German law. But I insisted that you were not to leave that theme park without riding Woden. Your only experience of wooden roller coasters really is the ones at the Pleasure Beach, which...
Yeah, that is my 100%...
You've never ridden a modern one?
Nope.
It was... I wanted to see how you found it, because although I'm a big fan of the Grand National, I know you find it a little bit...
painful.
Rattly.
Agonizing.
And so I wanted to see if you found a modern Woody a more enjoyable experience. And apart from the queue line, which we've talked about,
bloody queue line.
The ride itself. Now, bear in mind, the first ride, you sat on row 2.
Mm.
So you were not at the back.
We tried to get on subsequent rides. I don't know where my son's got it from. I think he's been exposed to you far too much. That he was going, oh, we need to go to the back. We need to go to the back. And because they, you know, obviously either you're told where to sit, or if you're on the speedy, which we have some called the alternative speedy pass, that you're kind of told where to stand. So you can't really dictate where you sit. So, yeah, we're on the second row, which I'm quite happy with. It's not going to make... And I know this thing of being on the back and you get pulled over the top. Wait a second, where did we go? Oh, we went on when we went on Silverstar, we were on the very back row and we were on more or less the front row. I could not feel a difference. So that is
you would feel
myth.
It on Woden, I'm telling you now. It's not a myth. Absolutely not a myth. But you found Woden wild in row 2.
Oh my goodness. That is, it's just, it reminds me, and I know you're going to throw your hands up in horror, it reminds me of the big one. Because it's just so relentless.
I am trying to find the association.
The big one has this, once it's dropped, it has this absolute relentlessness. There's no let up to me. In my very limited experience with roller coasters.
We should point out Glenn hasn't ridden the big one for possibly a decade.
I don't like height. That lift, if you speed the lift till up, I'm fine.
Amanda, double time.
Oh, wait, no, I was going to ask you, which is higher, the big one or Silver Star?
Silver Star.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, I went up a whole octave then. That it didn't feel half as bad.
Yeah, it's because you're going up quickly.
Like it.
You're going, there's something about the big ones lift hill. I will give you that. That is incredibly intimidating, and I think it's the angle of bank being. Yeah. It's quite shallow, so it just goes on and on and on and on. Whereas Silver Star's steeper and faster, and you just before you know it, you're at the top. So
I mean, all I did was just stare at the seat in front of me. That's why, if I'd have been on the front, oh my god, my son would have heard some language. But I just stared at the bolts on the back of the chair in front of me, and I was I was okay-ish. But the Wardant, that That is unbelievable.
It's For a wild, isn't it?
It's wild, but not in a bone-shaking wildness
No.
like the Grand National or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's the right side of feeling uncontrolled. Like it's not braked and it's not,
Yeah.
it's not trimmed or anything else like that. It's just it trimmed. See?
Hey,
Trimmed.
which
Yeah.
Silver Star is?
Oh, well, that's probably why I like it. But
yeah.
you just get this absolutely relentless feeling that it's just
Yeah.
going to go on forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
That was very impressive.
Yeah, it is. It's my favorite Woody.
Is it a
Actually,
proper Ruddy? Is it a
it is.
proper, or
It's
is
a
it an
proper.
RMC type,
No, it's not
like
an
quirky?
RMC. It is a GCI Woody. They have installed some Titan track, which the observant among us will have seen as they leave the station. There is some metal raised track, which they've added on top of the wooden track basically to smooth out a few sections, and they've literally done that in the last few years.
All right.
We're not as enthusiasts, generally big fans of that.
Oh,
We'd like
okay.
them to leave it alone, but they've obviously
Boo.
got their
Yeah.
reasons for needing to do that on certain sections of it. But no, that is a true through and through Woody, and I'm glad you enjoyed it because I think it shows the difference between a modern Woody and an older one, and
Yes.
both have merit.
No, they
But
don't. I was very impressed with it. I was
yeah.
impressed with its smoothness, ironically, as well.
Yeah, but this is
I mean,
it.
you do get thrown about left and right, but that's part of the ride. But the actual travel down the track was
Yeah.
really
You're
smooth.
not like vibrating or anything.
No.
You are, yeah.
Yeah.
No, good. That was the major coasters covered. Now, you did text me after I think a
Oh,
day and a
no.
half in the park. I know, less than that, probably like a full day in total, but over 2 days. And you said, "We've done everything now." And
Yeah.
I said, "There is no way on God's earth you have done everything in Europa Park in a day." I
Yeah.
always say, if you're going, go for it, try and go for 3 days. If you can only do two, then you'll get a lot of stuff done, but try
You'll
and
still
go
be
for
all
at
right.
least three. But we should point out, you weren't doing everything. So you flatly refused to do any water ride.
Yes.
I suggested you went on the rapids and you said, absolutely
No,
no
because you
way.
get soaked through. And then she denied all knowledge of this. So a quick search of TikTok found multiple on-ride videos of people getting absolutely drenched.
I've never got wet on fjord rafting,
No, and
but
when I went on it 5 years ago, whenever it was, I was the only one who was targeted on the ride, and the rest of my family were bone dry, and I was soaked through to my underwear and walked around for the rest of the day with that horrible feeling.
well, okay, so that didn't happen. Obviously, Atlantica Supersplash didn't happen, and nor did well, any of them. The Log Flume, like nothing happened. So you
No.
didn't do any of those. Obviously, like kids' rides, family rides. Your son's 14, so
Yeah, I'm
you won't
gonna
gonna
do
be doing
that.
those.
Oh,
Yeah, not like
God.
when I
Oh.
go, and we have to spend a lot of time on the smaller rides, and we do, we do them all. And she loves them, and Europa Park is fantastic for
Oh,
younger children in that respect. There is
I
so
did
many.
them last time,
Yeah.
5 years ago, 6 years ago, whatever it was. So
It's
we have done
jam-packed
it.
with them, isn't it? It's like you turn a
Yeah.
corner and it's like, wow, there's like four rides here.
Yeah.
Something else actually you didn't go on, which is a thrill coaster and is closing this year, is Euromir. And I did point out it could be your last chance to ride it, and you said good.
Good. Yeah, because I went on it last time
And
and
you didn't
I've
like
never
it.
been in. That's the most painful ride I've ever been on.
Yeah. See, I was not a big fan. I'm not a huge fan of Euromir, but I did ride it at Christmas and it totally changed my opinion on it.
It had three stages. It was either closed, a 50-minute queue, or a 10-minute queue.
Yeah.
That was it, three stages all 4 days.
I think
And
it will get big queues this year because I think a lot of people will be going, ah, we'll get a ride in whilst we can.
no.
And you don't even like the soundtrack, the iconic soundtrack.
Oh.
You don't even like it. So yeah, that was.
No.
Did you? Because I kept telling you to go and do it, and I don't know if you did. Do Pirates.
That was a monumental queue all day long. We went past because sometimes, here's another top tip, sometimes the app isn't as quick at updating as people think. So it'll say 45 minutes and then you look at it and think, well, hang on, that's not 45 minutes because it was back here before.
Yeah.
So sometimes you can wander past and you could be lucky and it's not updated. But every time we went past into that cul-de-sac of food, that it's just jammed. That's another thing. I know it's because it's been added to over the years. Navigating your way around that park is just annoying. There are so many pinch points where there's 500,000 people trying to get through a tiny gap. That can get annoying.
It took us 3 days the first time we went to understand the park, like, and the layout of it. Yeah. So that's why I always say, if you're going for the first time, give yourself like 3 days, because it will take you that long to go, okay, I understand. If I'm trying to get there, I need to go this way. Otherwise, you will end up doing round.
Yeah.
Once you understand it, it's absolutely fine. But it's the longest theme park it's ever taken me to understand.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get there, but I can't remember like how we get there. Okay, so you didn't do that. No. You wouldn't go up the Euro Tower. That was a point blank. It's good because it's lovely views.
I may be biased or tarnished from my childhood of the tower, the similar thing we used to have at the Pleasure Beach in probably the 80s. which never had air conditioning because nothing in the 80s had air conditioning. So if you're going up in the middle of summer, that, imagine rotating sweating on it in a greenhouse with 80s body odor everywhere. Yeah. So I've always been put off those, really.
I think you would have enjoyed that, actually. You'll see far and wide when you go up there. I think if you're listening to this, we might think that you didn't really have a good time. But I don't think that that's actually true. I think you did.
I think it's the best theme park I've ever been to. Yeah. And I have been to Euro Disney. I haven't been to any of the American ones.
Yeah.
But I have been to Euro Disney, which is the worst place in the world. but I would say Europa Park is 100 times better than anywhere else I've ever been.
Yeah.
So it might sound like I'm slagging it off, but it's because it's so perfect. You have to pick out bits that don't make it 1,000,000,000% perfect.
And you're not an enthusiast. Theme parks are not your thing, and you hate queues of any description. Always buy a fast track if it's an option, and you can't do that at Europa Park apart from what we're about to come on to.
Yeah.
So it's not your ideal environment. But you did still, overall, you had a good time and you'd go back.
Yeah. I mean, my hideous experience of Euro Disney when it was 90-minute queues. And you think, get lost.
Yeah, no, that's very standard. And especially for an Easter bank holiday, that's the thing. So we're talking about queues here of 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes, possibly.
Oh, I mean, it was rammed. You couldn't see the floor. It was absolutely rammed. So, a 30-minute queue is probably exceptional, but I just don't do it full stop. I don't like walking around in the dark surrounded by sweaty people whose idea of queuing is somehow more lax than mine. And just because your friend is 400 meters further on in the queue doesn't mean, say, eight of you can wander through the queue and be talk with it. No,
we don't like, but that can't have been German. There's no way Germans
would do
that.
Weren't German.
No,
they definitely weren't German.
The Germans are dear to the rules of queuing.
Oh, yeah, that is for button, yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, they were the next country along.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Everybody knows who they were.
Let's talk about this secret fast pass at Europa Park, which I had never realised was a thing. I've never heard anyone talk about it, but it does exist. If you stay in the, what was it called again? The presidential, the penthouse presidential suite within built sauna and rotating bed. That's the official description, I think. So when we
checked in, the nice lady took us to our room and showed us all the buttons and stuff, which we didn't work out until we left. Every morning was a 20 minutes of trying to turn the lights on, trying to open the blinds, and stop the bed rotating.
Just been going all night. That's why you felt ill.
And so she gave us all this bump. We got free drink vouchers in the hotel, which is quite standard, I suppose. Free coffee and cake things on the park. I think they're on the park or in a hotel somewhere. I think you could use them more or less anywhere. And this little blue book with tickets in. They were, oh, hang on, I probably still got it in my pocket because I never take anything out. I just transfer everything from one set of trousers to the next. Hey!
has it been stamped?
Oh, there's only two have been stamped. But, so it's called a tour card. And basically it allows you to jump the queue on shows, restaurants, and two attractions per card. So we were like, she just said, oh, blah, blah, blah. Now, in my world, an attraction is not a ride is a ride, and an attraction is, I don't know, something else.
See, to me, an attraction is a ride. Especially when you've already said shows and restaurants, like that's the other things.
But
what's left?
She was showing us that much stuff. We were like, oh, yeah, whatever. And so it was only on the subsequent days that we discovered what this was. We were questioning on the first day. We were questioning the amount we paid for our hotel and what do we actually get for it being at a theme park, because anywhere else in the world you could buy, I even know the Disney thing where if you really want to be an idiot, you can pay a fortune and somebody walks you around the park.
Yeah.
And so if you're fooling your money enough, then there are ways to separate you from your money. Whereas at Europa Park, there really isn't.
No.
And we were thinking they're missing a hell of a trick because we'd have paid. I'd have paid whatever it was. If I could be walked around or even just a fast pass thing that you just go, hello, I'm staying in a suite, so move. And
I understand your point of view of like, well, I will happily pay to get on quicker. The thing is, for the rest of us plebs, we quite like that. That's not an option that you're able to.
No, yeah, but it's the same argument you've had on your podcast about business class and everything else.
Yeah,
people are stupid enough to pay it, let them pay.
The thing
is, it's an extra revenue stream for the park.
It is, but generally, maybe Easter bank holiday aside, you wouldn't need it, honestly.
When we go again in May, when you're here, then I shall reserve judgment until then.
Okay, but anyway, you do get actually a free fast pass by staying in the presidential suite.
Yes,
but only for what? So for two attractions.
Two attractions, but there's a ticket each, and so my wife,
she wasn't going on the rides.
Yeah,
so you actually had three. Oh. Yeah.
So we're doing complex maths of how we could split three into two constantly. So we. But yeah, I mean, God, yeah. So we used it first on Voltron, and just wandered in.
I get you. I guess you go down the virtual queue line.
Yeah,
you just
show them the ticket, and they have a special. If you see a little star stamp, and they stamp it, and you're in.
Nice.
So yeah.
What we don't know is what the lowest grade of room would also allow you one of those.
Yeah, okay.
Whether it's just suites, whether it's just certain hotels, I can't confirm or deny. But if you are looking at booking a suite, presidential suite, definitely worth asking if it comes with the Europa Park. Is it a tour? It's called a tour card.
Yes.
Europa Park tour card. So there you go. I have never heard anyone talk about that before. I didn't even realise it was a thing, but now it's. And you have stayed, like you say, at the Bell Rock. You've stayed in the lighthouse there.
Yeah, but I don't know. I can't remember. But that's what I mean. She didn't actually really
explain.
You got a
it.
Bumper stuff. You got so many leaflets and maps and things like that that it just got lost, essentially. It doesn't look, it's not gold-plated or anything. It just looks like a leaflet with three cards stuck to it. So it wasn't self-illuminating and everybody going, around it. So it just looked like some voucher or whatever, which you never usually look at.
Yeah.
So it was only when we sat down and actually started looking at them that we thought, I ain't got a minute.
This is actually a good deal. Mm. Before we finish off, there's one element of your stay which you didn't particularly like, and I've got to agree with you on this one as well, and that is the hotel food.
Terrible. There's only one way to describe it.
Was it terrible, or was it just overpriced for what it was?
Right. So the first evening, we ate in the restaurant, the full service restaurant that's in the hotel. So we had a starting main course and dessert. We ordered, and it all arrived fine and dandy, except everything had chips. You couldn't order anything. The only potato-based product you could have with your meal was those horrible thin pre-made French fry things.
Yeah.
They had Chateaubriand and all kinds of very expensive steaks with chips. Mm. Everything with chips. My wife even said, you know, can we have something that's not chips? And he said, oh, well, one of the dishes has rice. The vegetarian dish has rice. I think we can, like, scrape some rice onto it. Or he said there was something else, but he said, oh, it's not very nice. And we're like, oh, right, okay. So it was chips. Next night, because we didn't know, we booked into the Bubba Smith's or something, whatever it's
Bubba
called.
Bubba Sven's.
Yes. Wow.
I did say to you, that's a buffet.
But it's also, we did get told that they do service.
Right, but they don't.
Wow, it was like the last days of Rome. It was
again, Glenn and a buffet, never the twain shall
meet. Anybody who eats a buffet, head reading.
Like a continental breakfast selection is probably the closest you'll get.
Yeah, and make sure you're up early before the kids get up. And stick the bloody spoon in every bloody thing as they're going along. Oh, God. So, yeah, we got to where you say hello, and it was as busy as the park, and we were like, no. So we turned around, went back in the full service restaurant, and the woman on the desk went, my wife went, we're booked into Bubba Sven's, and she just finished our sentence, but you want to eat in here. Right, yeah. She was, yeah. So we sat down in there, ordered our starters, and they took a bit to arrive, but, you know, we weren't in a rush, whatever. So our starters arrived. Mine was a carrot soup. It was very nice. And I just put the spoon in my mouth when our main courses arrived.
Yeah. Oh, that's not good.
And we were like, but we've only just ordered our starters. It did take a long time to arrive.
I've worked in a restaurant. We have a mains away button. You don't push mains away until the starters.
There you go. My wife used to work in hotels. She goes, you don't do this. So they were like, oh, so you don't want it? No, not now. We'll have it later, thanks. So it was, I would say it was another, we finished our starters, and it was probably another 45 minutes, an hour before our main courses arrived. So my wife was going, well, they'll just chucked or whatever and made fresh. That's why it's taken a long time. And that evening, I'd ordered the burger because I thought, oh, man, you can get rid of bored of fine food. So I thought, I'll have the cheeseburger. It kept coming past. It's on a brioche, but it looked really nice. It arrived, a bit into it. It was stone cold. As in stonk. So I don't know whether it was the same burger that had been sat there. Oh, and the when it arrived, the bread on the top was like tap hard. It was
hard.
I don't know whether they tried to keep it warm on a hot plate, but you can't keep a burger warm in a burger.
And I'm guessing this burger was not shy of €25. You can't do that.
So I like called him over, like, oi, cha, this is, and I put my finger out, I went, this is stone cold. He goes, all right, okay. So he goes, I'll get you a new one. And so they made one from fresh. So obviously my wife and my son are eating their meal, and then mine arrives. Like, we're talking like 90 minutes since my starter. And they're, is it okay now? Is it okay? And they come. And so the bill arrives, and my wife, again, who's used to, not used to, but a level of because she used to work in the industry, she goes, "Oh, it's all right, they'll comp it, or they'll do something, they'll
Yeah.
apologize." No, bill arrived, full price.
Oh, no,
Like,
that's
ah.
really bad. And they didn't even
So,
offer you like drinks in the meantime or anything like
no,
that.
nothing.
That's really bad.
Absolutely nothing. And it wasn't. I have never paid so much for meals. So the next night we went, it was like, "Oh, sod this, we're going to Bell Rock." So we booked into the Bell Rock, which was really nice. You cannot fault that place. But we were three of us. So three of us, three course meal. My wife had a small carafe of wine, like one of those two glass things. I had my amaretto and Coke. So not like a bottle of wine included or anything like that. And it was 280 euros.
This is about 250 quid.
330 with tip,
And
because
that's for three of you.
my wife said, if you, because they were excellent, she goes, "You've got to give them the 20%."
Yeah.
You absolutely, because they were absolutely spot on. Service was amazing. So yeah, with tip it was 330 or something like
So it's a lot.
that.
It.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And you know, we kind of joke about your standards and things like that, but that is not, that's a very special dinner out
Yes, it
for a
is. Yeah,
family.
yeah. The hotel we were staying in, the whatever it's called.
Kronasar.
Yeah, it's five star luxury and all this. Yeah, well, the restaurants should recommend. Fine, you can have your self-service restaurant if you don't want to pay that, but a restaurant that only has chips, that ain't
No.
anything.
No, and I'll be honest, we don't stay on site at Europa Park. We stay in an apartment in Rust. But we did go for evening meals at the hotels last year. We went to the buffet at Castillo, but you know, and it wasn't. It's not like your standard buffet. They're cooking steaks fresh and stuff like that for you. It's one of those kind of buffets, and it was okay. I know a lot of people really rate it, but for me, I found it okay and expensive for what it was. And then we went to the Tex-Mex place, and we really didn't have a good experience there at all. We actually said, I don't think we'll eat at one of the hotel restaurants again. And we have eaten in Rust at various like local places there, and actually always had a decent time there. So yeah, for me personally, I don't think they're worth it. I mean, some. If you're happy with a buffet and you just want an easy option with kids after a long park day, then there's several buffet options and they will be fine. They won't be cheap, but they'll be fine. But yeah, I think if you're looking for like a really nice sort of quality meal, you're probably not going to get it. Well, you might do, but you like you say, you have to pay 330 euro for it. So it's
But it wasn't quality. It's just, you're not, it's not. I can pay half that where we live here and have a far better meal. So
Obviously, there's always a theme park premium put on stuff like this,
yes.
but I agree. I think it's too much.
I would look next, if I went again, I would look around what locally is available.
And there
I
are
mean,
some
'cause we'd
great
have a car
places.
anyway because we drive to it. So, or even get a cab, it's not,
Well, yeah,
it's
you
probably still
walk into Rust,
cheaper.
and yeah, there are. We've been to like a Greek place. We've been to some Italians. There's like a chicken place. Like there's various options. And yeah, I would sort of go in
Breakfast were lovely.
cautiously.
I know. I would say that because we were in a suite. When you went for breakfast, you were put in a separate bit, and we had
Oh.
a suite. You could do the buffet, the breakfast buffet, but we also had a menu as well on our table, and it said suites, and only people from the suites were in that section. So you could have there was a creme brulee porridge.
Oh, well, that sounds right up my street.
Oh yeah, my blood sugar was. I mean, I'm not diabetic or anything, but Christ, I
You might be
felt
now.
it. Yes.
I mean, I've had a similar experience at Efteling recently, and I love Efteling, and I absolutely adored the hotel that we stayed in. But we didn't find evening food that great there either. So it does seem to be an ongoing issue for theme parks. Maybe we just need to give up and go. No, we just go to a restaurant because it's just there. They know what they're doing and just
It's very
let
true. Yeah,
them.
they have sent me an email today. What do you think? I haven't opened it yet. The questionnaire. I love a questionnaire email.
The last
Oh,
time you
I love
filled out one of these, you ended up on a focus group.
Yeah. And that woman still hasn't sent me my £15 Amazon voucher.
Oh,
Oh, so so angry.
Okay, well, hopefully this gives like an insight into what you as a non-enthusiast thought of Europa Park compared to me, who absolutely loves and adores the place. And I would, if I lived 3 hours from Europa Park, I would be there every weekend.
You wouldn't. Not on German Autobahns, you
wouldn't. I would. Oh, easy. No speed limits. Oh. Off we go. Like, I'd love it. You're not going to be there every weekend, but I think you'll be back there this year.
Yeah, I'm coming with you.
You're not moaning about a 10-minute queue if you come with
and
me.
And I know exactly what will happen. Her and her husband will go on all the rides, and she'll be like, oh, you don't like this one? You can take my daughter on all the little kiddie rides. So my inherited goddaughter...
She'll have a lovely time.
Come on, Uncle Glenn, let's go on this one again.
They'll be more up your street. They won't have a queue. Yeah. And they won't make you feel sick. Overall, you did have a good experience, despite the few little things, apart from the hotel food. I think we can say that was an absolute fail. Mm-hmm. Would you stay in Hotel Kronasar again, or would you think you'd look to go back?
First place would always be Bell Rock.
Yeah.
But it's fine. The room was amazing. It's probably nicer because it is a bit more out of the west. It's a bit quieter.
Mm. You didn't go in Rolantica, even though you could have.
No, we had tickets, but we didn't.
They're not your thing again. War parks.
Absolutely not.
But obviously, if you are looking to go to Rolantica, then it's literally, you know, go up a lift, I guess, and you're.
Oh yeah, there's a bridge, thing you can walk straight from the hotel straight into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bell Rock or the other one is a fine. I mean, the Bell Rock doesn't have a rotating bed, so
it doesn't.
You take your pick.
It does have a hot tub on the balcony, so.
Oh, it does. You're right. Yeah, yeah. Again, hot
whichever
tub,
way not. You want to be kinky, there's an option for you. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this. And now, if we've said anything here that you are up in arms about, that you're frothing at the mouth about, do let me know. Pass the blame on to me. I always love to hear your thoughts. Have you been to Europa Park? Is it on your bucket list? What are you looking forward to? What should you not miss on a visit to Europa Park? Let me know in the comments, or come and find me on social media. I'm very easy to find. Just search Bex Parkcast. And if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button so that when I release a new episode, you will never miss it. And if you want to leave us a review, you can do that as well. For now, though, we've been Parkcast.
Parkcast. The UK's original theme park podcast.